One thing is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This message is titled, The Priestly Ministry of a Believer.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Say, Father, thank you for another blessed opportunity to hear and receive the Word of God. My heart is open. My mind is alert. My antenna is raised to hear God's Word. And to act on it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say thank you, Lord Jesus. Do you love Jesus? Okay. Now, what we're going to share beginning from tonight is so important that I'd like you to make sure that you are listening, in that whatever portion of the Bible that we refer to, you are quick to look at it and also to write it down. In Christianity today, there's a lot of emphasis on getting something from God. There's a lot of emphasis on having God do something for us. We are really all the time wanting God to do something. A lot of times we find ourselves asking God for something all the time. Our prayer life is full of requests. In fact, today when people talk about prayer, they associate it with requests, prayer requests. They got something they want God to do about their business. They got something they want God to do about their physical body. They have a need in their family, for their marriage, for their finances, you know. And if you are acquainted with God's word in a deeper level, you just wonder, is this the way to serve God? Do we only relate with God because we want Him to do something for us? Who are we? What does God want us to be? In the mind of God, who are we? And we continually pray and ask and ask and ask, and sometimes we even wonder whether or not we are heard. Many times it's because we have made a God out of our needs. We worship our needs. We're continually praying about our needs and thereby talking about our needs and concerned about our needs, to the point that our needs have gained so much attention in our lives, we don't really know which one is God. Is it our needs? Is it the God to whom we speak? Or ourselves who are in need? I want to read something to you from the Bible that will give you an idea of what the Christian life really ought to be. I'd like to, you know, I often tell you, every major truth begins from Genesis. Huh? Every final truth ends in Revelation. Come on, talk to me. I said every major truth begins its teaching from Genesis. But every final truth ends in Revelation. In other words, when you go to the book of Revelation, you'd find it there. Then you know this is the final truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's like God revealing himself to Moses. And he said to Moses, he said, Moses, in Exodus chapter number 6, when you read verses 2 and 3, he said, Moses, I want to introduce myself to you. He said, I am Jehovah. He said, my name is Jehovah. But your fathers knew me as El Shaddai. Many of us pronounce it El Shaddai. Pronunciation signs say El Shaddai. That's more difficult to pronounce, right? Okay. But he said, that's my name, Jehovah. But Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew me as El Shaddai. But I am Jehovah. Now, look at the truth. Here was a truth that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had. But there was another truth. A newer revelation. And that's in Jehovah. The covenant God. But it didn't end there. The final truth, when you come to the book of Revelation, his name is Jesus. The name is not El Shaddai. It's not Jehovah. He said, thou hast exalted thy word above all thy name. And who is his word? Jesus. So the final truth you find in the book of Revelation. All right. Now, having that in mind, so I want to read to you in our message today from the book of Revelation. I want us to see what God expects us to be like. What is the mind of God concerning us? What does he really think about us? Who am I to God? When he looks at me, what's on his mind? What's on his mind? What's on God's mind? I like to know what God thinks about me. Hallelujah. I don't care what people think, but I like to know what God thinks. There are a lot of people who always run around trying to find out what people think about them. That's wrong. You don't have to live to their expectation. You live to God's expectation. Hallelujah. Okay, so the book of Revelation, chapter number 1. Ho, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Woo hoo, glory. Ooh. I'm going to read to you from verse 4. Hello. Are you ready? Are you set? Okay. So let's go. From verse number 4. The book of Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter number 1. I'm reading from verse 4. John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne, Now we have a teaching on seven spirits of God. If you don't have the tapes, make sure you ask for them so you can understand what the Bible means by the seven spirits of God. Verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, he's giving greetings. He says, grace be unto you and peace. And from Jesus Christ, verse 5, who is, watch what he calls Jesus. Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. Now, that's very significant. You know, in the book of John, St. John's Gospel, Jesus Christ was called the only begotten of the Father. All right? He was called the only begotten of the Father. After his resurrection, he was never again called the only begotten of the Father. Why? Because when he died, we died with him. When he was buried, we were buried together with him. When God raised him from the dead, we were raised together with him. And so we came up together with him, new creations, with a new kind of life. Hallelujah. And we became sons and daughters of God, just like Jesus. Hallelujah. So now he's called the first begotten of the dead. Not the first begotten of the Father or the only begotten of the Father, but the first begotten of the dead. Why? He's not talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritual death, because he was not the first person to be raised from the dead. In the Old Testament, the prophets raised others from the dead. In the New Testament, Jesus raised some from the dead. The apostles did too. So Jesus was not the first to be raised from the dead. But he was the first to come out of spiritual death.
Hallelujah.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. O Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me, and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah. For prayer and counseling, or to share your testimony with us, please call 0902-969-2794 or participate in our online church at www.cebeninzone1.org on Sundays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Or send an email to lwrtransmissions@gmail.com. God bless you.